Okay, hi everybody. This is Reverend Barbara Leonard. We're back with Inner Garden Fun and Learn. And tonight we're going to have fun and learn with a couple of people who are good friends of mine. One of them is Ash Riot. Say hi, Ash.
Hello.
And the other one is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
Hello, hello.
Yeah. And anybody who knows our program from when we used to be on 4 years ago, we used to have a theme song, and that theme song was God Has a Dream for Me. And I was so just honored that Cheryl recorded that for me.
With Kevin Stewart.
Kevin,
yes.
Yes. And what a wonderful recording. It was a surprise. I came over just before Christmas, wasn't it? And we were getting songs done and all the rest of this stuff. And they said, come down to the studio, and we want to show you our studio because you've never seen our studio. Went downstairs and they fired up this CD. Oh, I just cried. It never sounded that good when I wrote it.
It was Barbara's song, and we wanted to give you the gift of having your song.
Yeah,
that was a really good memory. I see that you brought it up.
Yeah, cool. It was wonderful. And so tonight we're going to have some more of your wonderful music. Some of you two do co-writing together.
Correct.
And you have independently done writing before that, but you've come together and really just producing some absolutely fantastic music. And we're going to have some people phoning in a little later. What I would like to talk a little bit about is that this is not a gift as per se, that, you know, you get a gift and, you know, that you're blessed with a gift. Everybody is blessed with parts of talents and special things that God gives them, and that's what you have. And what you guys are doing with that is just wonderful.
Well,
and it is a spiritual thing. It comes through you. Your music comes through you, not of you, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
If it was coming from us, we'd wonder, like, where in the name of heaven did that come from? Why has it been sitting around all that time? But do you guys find that sometimes it just, the whole thing just comes all at one swoop?
Well, lately, I just wanted to say we are independent artists. Like, we both have independent careers. Ash Riot, you can check Ash's stuff out on MySpace, and Cheryl Catherine Smith. And we've come together in really beautiful, miraculous ways, right? I mean, we really feel really great how we've come together. And now we have formed a band, and we're actually focusing all of our attention at this time, not on our individual careers, but on our band. And we're both really excited about it. And the band's name is Hologram. And this is why we're here, is we want to basically kind of debut Hologram. We've had a chance to sing a couple songs at Inner Garden. But this is our way of kind of, you know, we're going to be recording in January. We're going to start recording our album with Kevin Stewart Swain, who's also in the band.
Mm-hmm.
So we just wanted to kind of, you know, give a little taste, right, I guess.
And we'd like to say hi to Kevin.
Yes.
Because Kevin's a very important member, not only of the band, but of the whole thing, because he just is so good on the technical side, and he's so good on the backup, and he can just kind of step in and just, he just showcases you so well. And
yes.
But without him, it wouldn't be the same.
No, he's also an amazing musician. I mean,
yeah,
he's
he is.
He's a really great bass player and a great guitar player and
yeah.
a great producer. Yeah. He's got a lot of non-gifts. What do we call them? Abilities?
Well, we have talents, and they're,
well,
you know,
yeah.
we're blessed with a life, which is a gift. But, mm-hmm. you know, the same thing is that it's just the something that vibrates inside you, and it's just a dream that God gives you, and it just comes up from somewhere and vibrates there.
Yeah, well, I mean, it for us, it's kind of strange because everybody for a long time was like, you got to meet each other.
Yeah.
You, it's like, Ash, you got to meet Cheryl. Cheryl, you got to meet Ash. We're just like, oh, okay. You know, we don't really, like, I knew who she was, and she knew who I was, I guess. But
we
just didn't, it didn't click. And then one day we just met, and we were like, oh. Oh, okay, this is important.
It's got a sense, really. It's timing. It's all in a plan.
Definitely. And you know what I love? I was just thinking as I was driving over here today, I was thinking about John Lennon. Life is what happens when you're busy making other plans.
Isn't that true?
And that's kind of what happened with Ash and I, because, you know, Ash has, you know, we had our own stuff going on. Actually, we started recording yeah. Ash's new original material. And that's how this all started. We connected, and then we were recording Ash's material in our studio. And then we just went to, want to do a band? Yeah. Do you want to do a band? And yeah, it's just, it feels really, it's all about feeling.
Yeah.
And what feels right, you know? And this, we're both totally on board. Nobody's convincing the other that this is the right thing for them. This is something that each of us individually feel. And in fact, I'm going, Ash, you're such an awesome, amazing talent. You know, what about your own solo career? And I was working on a, you know, I've got a song that I've just done, and I was getting a video done by Annie Kidd, and she's actually still in the process of doing it. We're kind of, you know, just, you know, it's just, okay, go, and there's another plan. And it feels really good. It's not about, oh, geez. It feels excellent, and we've been writing ever since.
Yeah, we get together so often and just sit in her attic, and mm-hmm. just like, you know, an hour later, our song's done.
Yeah.
And it just, it's so natural.
And it just comes so easy, doesn't it? It just
yeah.
flows down. And
well,
it's not
yeah.
something you can sit down and try, really. You know,
well,
you can try.
You can try, but then it's just, it's not as natural.
No.
But, I mean, we just, it just, we can't help it. We just sit there, and it just... Yeah.
You just bounce off
yeah.
each other.
Well, we also feel very, very blessed with muses. Like, we're
yeah.
just both feeling yeah. so blessed with muses
yeah.
right now. And it's not of ourselves. I mean, both of us love Tori Amos.
Yeah.
And one of the things Tori says is that, you know, taking credit for a song is like a painter taking credit for the sunset that he's painted.
Exactly.
Right? So it's
very similar.
And
this is why I was
right?
saying it's not really, you know, you have to be vibrating to a certain direction. It's like... doctors, they go and they get medical training, and then this intuition can come through them that when they're doing surgery, they might get the intuition to reach behind that kidney, which wasn't what they were going after in the first place, and they find a cyst there or a tumor there that maybe would have took that person's life if they hadn't have been just kind of intuitively directed, shall we say, to reach behind it. And I think the thing is, with the music, you have to firstly have that in your spirit. That has to be part of what comes with you. And then you can link with that higher intuition and where it's all written already. We know that all of this is written already. All the things that are
or
created are all.
Us without,
but
know,
they're having good time.
Whoever, you know.
Yeah.
It's like just, yeah, it's pretty powerful how it just unravels.
Yeah. The other thing that I think is really interesting, you were saying, that number of people said, oh, you have to meet Ash,
yeah.
or you have to meet
yeah.
Cheryl.
Yeah.
And it's so funny that they could see it in their head. They could see the two of you together. So it's almost as if intuitively they could see the two of you vibrate well together, but yet you were walking separate pathways, and they're saying, like,
definitely.
How can we get
very
these two?
Separate. Even different genres of music.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. We kind of took it as, you know, people knew us as musicians, and once someone knows a musician and they know another musician,
yeah.
they do want
yeah.
all the musicians
yeah.
to get together.
Exactly.
So both of us kind of, oh yeah, because we've heard yeah. it before, right? I mean, we've had other people say, well, that so-and-so's a musician,
yeah.
we want you to meet them, and because you have a common interest.
Yeah.
So there's an aspect, because we talked about this later, we're yeah. both going, yeah, I heard about you, I actually even checked out Ash's stuff. And, yeah, I guess if we're meant to meet, we'll meet.
Yeah. And because you did, at that time, have such different areas that you were walking.
Definitely.
You know, in the music field.
Yeah.
You would be listening to her stuff, say, well, that's really good, but that's not quite my style of music. And she might say the same thing. But yet when the two of you got together, you got a style altogether different again.
What's our style, Ash?
See, our style is like, it's different. Because, I mean... if I listened to her music, which I did, I was so into it. Like, it wasn't like I was just, oh, this isn't really my thing. Or,
yeah.
you know, and it's weird because a lot of people just really connect over music, or they connect and you know, they're good bandmates. But like, I mean, with us, we'll just be on the phone till 3 a.m. and we'll just, like, friends, and we just, like, we get it. We just get each other. And so that I think that helps mesh the music, too. So, I mean, her influences and my influences definitely have helped create this.
Yeah.
This is what it is, but it's kind of like, let's see if we can, okay, it's got some grunge, it's got some alternative, it's got some folky, punky, rocky,
coffee acoustic-y. Sometimes.
That you can really not put us into a box.
No.
At all.
Which is good.
Yeah.
And I was listening to you when you were just playing around there a little while before we started. And, you know, some degree, I could have jumped in with some of that stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. You know, because it was, you know, kind of a little bit more down the line where I could probably play. You know, some of the stuff I wouldn't necessarily.
We'll all jam.
I mean, yeah, we'll all jam.
Yeah. We'll put her on the air. That ought to be interesting. That ought to really be something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, though, it's interesting because the timing is so important.
Yeah. Oh,
the timing
yeah,
the is timing so important. Is, now, the real truth is that, you know, probably not, that if you met 10 years ago, it might have been like ships in the night.
No, it wouldn't have.
It wouldn't have gelled.
No, even a year ago.
Yeah.
Timing and, is everything. I mean, that's, life is just, you look back at all the series and sequences of your own life, right?
Yeah.
And you kind of, maybe a lot of times when I'm in a situation, I will wonder why or what it's about or it doesn't seem to fit. But then in hindsight, when I actually go ahead in the future and look back, I see how everything just relates and it all connects. It's like this beautiful path and this beautiful puzzle that's being created, and it makes sense. But this is, again, this is about faith and trust, right?
Yeah.
Having faith and trust in our life path and not fighting it. And this is why I'm saying going with the feelings.
Yeah.
Going with what feels
so right. That would be good advice for, say, a young person out there that's trying to develop their ability. You know, they have a desire and a vibration, a love or a passion towards music, and then they want to develop their own music. The what you're saying there, give them the trust. Give
definitely.
You know, step out in trust and with what you've got.
Trust what your passion is, but you also, like you say this a lot, Barb, is that you've got to put time, energy, and money into it. So it's not something that you just decide, I'm going to be a singer or I'm going to be a musician, and ta-da, I am.
Yeah.
It does take time. Ash, you know, you could talk about there's a lot of time, energy, and money that we put into our own projects.
Yeah.
We both have individual CDs. We both, you teach, I mean, talk about what it is that all the time you spend with your instrument and all the time we spend practicing. And
we practice a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's very much a lifestyle. I mean, I teach music during the week. I teach guitar and drums and bass and songwriting and stuff. And so, I mean, it's music's always around. And then every Thursday, I wake up in the morning and I go to her house or she comes to my house. And, you know, we end up hanging out more than just Thursdays and we just do this. Like, our life is, it's so different than it was.
So it has to be a passion. Or
you would never,
if it was just like a job or a desire, oh, I could be a great singer and make money. Like I often say that, you've heard me say that too, Cheryl, is that don't go after the money, go after the passion, and the money will follow it, because the passion will burn so bright that, you know, that light will take you where you need to go. But sometimes we get stuck in the fact, oh, well, you know, I could make good money at this, and get caught up in that instead of get with the passion. Why don't you guys give us a little bit of some of your music, and maybe some of the people that are out there will call in and talk a little bit about what their passions are, what they want to do, how they can follow their dream that God gives them.
Okay.
So what would you like to do? A couple of songs?
Yeah. We're going to do a song first called The Fusion. And, instead of, I guess, explaining the songs, I think they're kind of pretty explanatory. Yeah. Maybe you want to give a couple.
Maybe how did you come about writing this one? What was the stimuli on that one? Or did you get together and all of a sudden it just start coming?
This one was kind of inspired by a talk that she did at the Inner Garden, actually.
Really? At the chapel?
Yeah. And it was just, it struck me. And you know, she's pretty amazing. And, you know, it needs to be put into words, I think.
And actually, not only a good musician, but a tremendous motivational speaker.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Inspirational.
You know, now she's crawling underneath.
Crawling underneath.
Yeah, underneath with embarrassment because we're putting all the light on her now. So.
You're right.
The light
called the
fusion. We all shine, right?
Yeah. All right, here we go.
The birds come to sing with me.
People said, wow, what do you think of that? And this is one of the ones that you two you wrote together.
Yes, everything we've written together.
Yeah, yeah, that you're going to present
that
tonight.
We're going to present tonight, good. Yeah.
And you know, the thing is that if people would just take a look at that and just see how you work together with each other cooperatively. I mean, you're saying we put this together. You're not saying, well, she did this and he did that and then, you know, whatever.
It's very
it's
much
bigger than just we, too.
It's bigger than just we. And, yeah. You know, we, it's bigger than us. And it's, I mean, just like she said before, I mean, we can't really take credit for everything that we do. I mean, it's, music is a force that's bigger than our hands or, you know, our voice, right? So, I mean, we just sit there and we trust each other and we feel a lot for the music we get. We feel a lot for each other. So just to really come together and let it flow is how this music happened. Yeah. It's just really personal. And
it's amazing, actually, just even the writing process with Ash, because we've both written on our own. We've written with other people. And so we were a little bit apprehensive at the beginning, going, how's this going to work? And it just does. Yeah. It just flows. And not to say that the writing process is always easy, and I want to say this to people.
Yeah, exactly.
it's not like we're going, oh, it's so easy, everything's so great.
And these songs are just boring.
Oh, yeah. there is pain, like, associated for me with writing. Oftentimes, like, when I'm sitting down, and it doesn't always flow. I'm actually no, it's not always comfortable. It's like it's almost like birth. It kind of some of the stuff actually hurts.
It
like
really
physically
does.
Hurts
yeah.
to have it come out. But for the most part, I've never really felt any kind of anything with Ash like that. It's quite remarkable. I mean, it's extraordinary. It's not the usual.
No, it's really different. Like, even to work with other people, I'm just like, okay, go home now. Like, you know, I like a lot of people, but, you know, creating music is a really personal thing.
It is.
Yeah. So, I mean, you really have to get, you know, there's a lot of people you're going to mesh with, and there's a lot of people that you're not, but I've never really met anybody that I mesh with this well. Yeah. So when you're
so you just say, thank you, God, and go on.
Yeah, and then you
yeah.
just create.
Yeah. That's great. Do you know one time when you, the first time you ever talked on the rostrum, Ash, there was a number of years ago, a couple of years ago anyway, and the one thing you'd said there, that your music's therapy for you.
Oh, yeah.
And so what you're saying there, too, sometimes what you're bringing out in the music is bringing out the deepest, darkest center of yourself, that some emotion there that comes up, isn't it? And it comes out. And you express it, so you share that with other people, how you, maybe it's how you came through something that was really painful or whatever, and you bring that up or how painful it was at the moment. And a lot of times that's how musicians actually express some of the, I think it is how they get there.
Well, it's how we connect too. I mean, you think about, I love music because it goes right, I say it goes right to the soul. Like, I really feel that music is the only thing that will go right, will connect right to you, and you can actually feel it almost hit you. And emotionally, like, you can respond to music emotionally. You can get goosebumps. You can get hair standing up. You can get...
We've cried together.
Exactly, right? And I think as musicians, like, every musician has a different... I think there's a higher sensitivity than most with a lot of artists. Yeah. And so they feel everything very acutely and very strongly. And so a lot of the therapy that comes out of our art is actually us just expressing some of this.
Yeah.
And the sad thing, though, is that a lot of music, like, a lot of it is, there's a lot of sadness, too, because people are so vulnerable as artists, and they are so exposing themselves that not everybody's always kind.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a lot of drug addiction, and you see a lot of suicides, and you see, you know, the darker parts of what happens as a result of this, basically stripping yourself down emotionally.
Yeah.
And revealing yourself, and then how you're met with it. You have to have a pretty thick skin,
yeah,
as a musician. But you also want to walk that fine line. You want to be authentic and give your honest, authentic self, like, as opposed to kind of watering it down, or, you know. So it's really, it's quite challenging. Don't you find?
It's quite spiritually generous, really.
I agree.
Yes,
I think that.
I think it's very spiritually generous for a musician. Will open themselves up and bring that inner self out where everybody can see it on the table. I think that is just awesome.
Yeah, it's really important.
Yeah,
you know, just to really say what you're, you know, doing. Like, so many artists are just really shrouded, and they'd like to kind of just be elusive. But I mean, in one sense, it's really good to do that. It's really good to just you know, leave a lot to the imagination, because then whoever's listening to the song can really put their own personal take on it. So we're very much kind of mixed with that, but being very open and just being very candid about what our songs maybe are either about, or just the emotion in them, I think. Like, we strip it down.
But, you know, sometimes somebody will hear a song like that and they'll say, well, I'm not alone now. Because you relate something that they're going through, and they realize there's not such an aloneness that somebody else has gone through that and has come out the other side of the rainbow. You know, and so I think your music is really beneficial on a spiritual level. You know, and we do have a chapel. I often say this, and then I guess maybe this is a little bit weird for a minister to say, but I don't think you have to go to church to be spiritual. I think you go to church for the communion of other people and for that, you know, that feeling of having people of like minds and being able to share and have a safe place to share.
That's
where
I met her.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, like,
and you know, so both of you, what you're doing there, though, on Inner Gardens rostrums, you guys are opening yourself up. And when you do that, you know, we have people come up afterwards and say, I can totally relate with that song that Cheryl sang today, or what that talk that Ash gave about her music, and about, you know, she's a bubbly person. I can remember this. Now, believe it or not, this talk that you did, she said, you know, I'm a really bubbly person, a very happy person, but I think I write some dark music, and I think that's my therapy. That's exactly
what I remember. That was like a year after the listening.
Yeah. And I remember that, you know, and then people in the congregation remember that, you know, because that really hits home for them. Oh, wait a minute. You know, I can be a bubbly person, but maybe I can bring that dark place out in some way, so it no longer is going to be a sore in there festering.
Well, and I've spoken about this before, and I even have a song I wrote about dark places, but I totally believe in the integration of both. I think a lot of times people think spirituality is suppressing the dark, and it's not. It's about acceptance of all things, all aspects of ourselves, and if you actually kind of, you know, give your dark side a little bit of a nod and a hey, it's not so overwhelming, nor is it as looming as it potentially is if you try to squash it or say it doesn't exist, or live in this kind of pretense of, well, I'm just,
life is fabulous. I love life. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. And meanwhile, you're going, I hate this. I hate that. Yeah. Whatever's going on underneath.
Exactly.
So it's about authenticity, and that's what both Ash and I are really, we're both on the same page with it.
Well, when I wrote the book, Don't Just Stand There Sucking Your Thumb, you turn it over, it says, because you got gold plums at your fingertips. When I wrote that, it's actually done like a workshop. And in that workshop, there are 11 other people with the person who's reading the book that's supposed to be in the workshop and follow the directions. And in that, they're supposed to come up with 10 solutions for your own problem. Okay? So in the book, the scenario will be set up, and then you will see what 10 solutions the person is thinking in their head might be answers for them to their situation. In two of the situations, one of the last things they think is suicide. And somebody said to me, why would you put that in your book? I said, because it's reality.
Exactly.
It really is reality. Because sometimes when people are working through really dark places, suicide is one of the options they look at. Not the one we hope they're going to take, because there's 9 others there. But if you ignore the fact that that might cross somebody's mind, what good's a book going to do? Because the person's going to say, well, you know, I could just opt out of here.
That's
you know,
right.
And it's not addressed in there.
A lot of people do opt out.
Yes, exactly.
That really bothers me. That makes me sad. I mean, I even tried to opt out myself, and that's part of my story. And that was many, many years ago. But, you know, thankfully I didn't succeed. But I do definitely have a connection to suicide, to suicidal tendencies, to people that are feeling so lost and so in despair that they think that's their only option. And it actually does. It breaks my heart. It makes me even want to cry because I just feel that connection right away to don't.
Yeah.
Right?
And there are other 9 others at least options.
Well, definitely. But when you're in that place,
you don't
see it.
No.
Right? And you don't believe it will ever get better.
No.
I'm glad you're not dead.
Well, she'd be working on the spirit side. She would be your muse.
Like this.
I really like that new muse I've got working on.
Nobody, they might not be able to hear me. Just Ash. And you, Barb.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I'm certainly, you know, I went through my dark spaces. I think everybody goes through some.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go through situations, and they have to learn to deal with them. But, you know, if we're not going to be realistic, like as a minister, I have to be realistic that when I go out, I don't know what I'm needing out there. When I'm called out to do something, for instance, if I'm called out and somebody's passing away, I don't know what their family are going to feel like. I don't know what they're going to feel like when I'm going in there. I don't know what I'm dealing with. I have to go on trust and hope that the possibility of that spiritual messages will come through me, whether with my music or whatever, it wouldn't matter, but it's the same type of thing. I have to go in there and hope the right things are going to come out of my mouth.
Well, trusting that you are the intuitive counselor.
Exactly.
Right?
And the same thing is, you know, as I say, it's spiritual facilitating.
Yeah.
You know, that's all. You're a healing facilitator. You're not a healer. You're a spiritual facilitator. You're not the God.
Well, it's the same thing. It's the same premise as with the songs. It's, you know, we can't take credit for everything and say, yes, it's all me.
No.
Buy my book, buy my CD, come see me speak, pay $500. I don't know.
Would be nice if they paid $500.
Yeah.
I was thinking we should get a big program going that we have we're out there and we're doing that.
But
that
it's also about service, right?
Yeah.
This is where we're both Ash and I are very much in the same mindset. It's about service. It's not just about, you know, you're talking about being a musician and what motivates people. And you know, a lot of people, they're attracted by, you see the media and you see television and you've got American Idol and you've got all these things going on. A lot of people go, yeah, I'm going to be a singer. I'm going to be a rock star because I'll be popular. I'll be
so fake.
You know, I'll make lots of money. I'll have that lifestyle. And you may end up with that lifestyle, but that's, again, not a reason.
No.
You have to have a real passion for this.
Exactly.
And you can easily, because the business itself, and both Ash and I have been in the business and had lots of experiences with people in the business, and it's not always really pretty.
No.
And you have to have a really good sense of yourself and be really grounded, because it will not only swallow you, it'll kick you in the teeth.
Yeah, it'll kill you.
And yeah, it can be pretty, pretty.
You know what? Like any competitive business, okay? I think you have to go out with a spiritual generosity. That you go in and you be every bit that you can be. You be the very best you can be and think to yourself, which you guys are the very best at what you do.
Thank you.
You're the very best at what you do. I am the very best at what I do. So I don't have to feel threatened when I walk into something that would be competitive to what I do, that people are going to say, oh, well, you know, she's not as good as so-and-so. I don't have that in my
It's not part of
repertoire.
Your thinking,
no.
right? And you have, and all of us have to let go of that.
And I think you have to let go of that.
That's part of the darker parts of human nature, because we, you know, sometimes we need to feel, some of us feel that we need to compare, because then we get a sense of ourselves, but when you let go of comparison altogether, you do get a sense of yourself for real.
Exactly.
Right? And it is win-win. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Deepak Chopra who talked about, you know, success really is about helping others to succeed.
Yeah.
It's not just sort of saying, what can you give me? It's a shared experience, right? It's a how can we, and trusting who's in your path.
Exactly.
Right? You know, this is, again, it's just really trusting your life path and who's here today. And they didn't just show up randomly.
No.
Like, trusting, like Ash and the story of Ash and I.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just all so perfect in how it all happened.
And the timing was right.
Exactly.
And everything
and
was
trusting
in place.
And like I said, you know, she had her solo career, I had my solo career, and we both had mindsets kind of going in a different way, but we're open to what was the best.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, isn't that a sad thing, if you think about that? That had you not been open, had you had that closed hand, which is what I say, and don't stand there sucking your thumb, God cannot put something in a closed hand. So, okay, say I decide I want that top apple on that tree, and I'm not taking any of the fruit that's on any of the other trees. I've got to have that apple on that. So I keep concentrated at that, close my fist to any other option. Then I'm going to do a disservice to myself, because no matter how much, you know, spirit brings in front of me and offers me, I'm going, no, I don't want that. Give me that apple. By the time I get it, I'll find out it has a worm in the other side of it probably, or whatever, you know.
Do you have anything to say about that?
Go ahead. Yeah.
There's so much.
This is kind of an inside joke going on here.
No, I'm really glad that, you know, especially the day we met, we were both really open. And maybe more so even a few days later or a few weeks later. It's just, you know, I'm glad that I returned her call. And you know, I'm glad that she called me. And, I mean, it's really kind of strange, because if you're not open, like you think about it, openness really is to connect on a whole bunch of different levels, right? Because, I mean, you meet people and they can either, like, be your friend, and they can be, you know, somebody who you draw with, or they could be somebody you work with. Mm-hmm. And it's like we connect in many
levels,
ways
right?
I mean, it's important.
And so rightly, it could have just been a passing ships in the night.
Yeah.
You know, Cheryl, you did another song that we still haven't finished, The Magic of the Dance.
Yes.
And in The Magic of the Dance, which is a song that I wrote and Cheryl has done the vocal on it, and we haven't really creaked it up yet. But do you remember in the story behind that was that I was a young teenage girl, and I was really in love with this young man who I'd been in love with him for years, and I figured, you know, eventually we're going to get back together and we're going to get married. This was in my mindset. So I wasn't open really at that time to really another relationship. But he came in and told me, I'm engaged and I'm going to bring the girl up to the dance to meet you tonight. Well, that just about blew me off my socks, right?
Yeah.
And I cried all the way home. Well, when I got home, my aunt said to me, go and wash your face, have a cup of tea, and you go to that dance, and you hold your head up, because that's your dance, and he has no right bringing a girl there that he's engaged to just to make big fun in front of you. You just be strong and go. So when I wrote this song, this is basically what it is. If you listen to the first part of it, it's totally heartbreaking, isn't it? And then I listened to my aunt. I opened up my mind instead of staying in the bed, crying into my pillow, and howling all night. I got up, washed my face, had the tea, and went. And here was this good-looking Maine fella leaning against the stage who I've been married to for the last 56 years.
Yeah, I mean, out of hardships and heartbreak,
yeah.
I'm pretty...
But that's the ultimate stress.
No,
right,
but
again,
that is so frail.
Yeah.
That is so frail. You know, there is so much that I could have laid in that bed and cried. My aunt could have said, don't worry about it, hon. We'll go to a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll just put a little Band-Aid on it.
And don't worry about it. We'll go to a movie. Don't bother going to the dance and getting embarrassed.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead, she pushed me out the door.
Going, nope.
Okay? All these
You have a wise aunt.
That is, which is really funny, she normally wouldn't have pushed me out the door. She normally would have said, let's go to a movie.
Well, that's what happened with my mom the morning I was going to come meet her. Like, you know, I was like, oh, I just don't really feel like going to Inner Garden this morning. I'm really tired. And she was like, no, we're going. And I'm like, well, Hans is here. My friend was over. Hi, Hans. And you know, he was over, and I was like, let's just, you know, chill. And she's, get in the car.
No,
and
then it was and the, take hands
yeah,
with
it,
you.
It was the day she was speaking. I wouldn't have met her.
Now, here's the interesting thing. Your mom is here.
Yes.
And Janet.
Hi, Janet.
Hi.
Hello. Say hi. Janet, isn't it true that normally because she was tired and she'd been working all half the night and stuff, you would have been sympathetic and said, oh, well, maybe you do need a little bit more sleep. But that day you didn't.
No. It was meant to be.
It is just.
You're getting in the car and you're going to Inner Garden.
Yeah, you're going to Inner Garden.
There you
and
go.
And not knowing why. My aunt did not know why. I mean, normally she would have rubbed her hands together and said, oh, goody gumdrops. You know, she's a widow, and she got a chance to go out with me for the evening instead of sitting home looking at four walls. Mm-hmm. You know, so how I got to that dance is just a ruddy miracle.
And it all works out in the end.
Yeah. 56 years of marriage. I'm not going to say it was all good, but, you know, most of it has been. I'm still here in the marriage. What can I tell you? Spiritual generosity.
We got a request for a song.
Okay. You're going to let your give us a nice song for your mom now. What are you going to do?
You need the other guitar.
Yeah, well, you, guitar tech.
Guitar tech, Janice.
Yes, Janice, change guitars.
We need the tuned down guitar.
We need the drop C tuned guitar, metal guitar.
Change to a different guitar. And you see the guys do this on stage sometimes when you go and watch them, they change guitars.
Well, it makes it a lot easier, right? I mean, ultimately, you always want more than one guitar up there.
Actually, that's why the guitar that I play, which is an A-harp, if you're playing steel guitar, there's 101 different tunings in steel guitar.
Wow.
So this guitar plays all tunings.
Wow. That's impressive.
That is stellar.
More than this one.
Yeah, this one. This is just my way
to play all tunings on an $1,000 on an A-harp.
One with holes.
Yeah.
I really like it.
I love it. It's a cool looking guitar.
You know, I grew up. I was like 13, and Melissa Etheridge was on TV, and I was like, I want a guitar like Melissa Etheridge does. Like and then I was 24, and I was like, hey.
I'm
old enough now.
I've
heard
like a
12 string, but yeah. So this song is kind of it's called Darkest Medicine, and it's very much about what we've kind of been talking about.
It fits so well.
Yeah.
You see, just the intuitiveness just takes us where we need to go. There you go. So you guys show us some of your stuff. Yeah.
Do you have anything to say about this one?
No.
All right, me neither. Here we go.
Well, she's going to sing.
All right, here we go.
Celebrate.
Doing this one in the chapel because we get an audience in the chapel. We kind of have to do it every other week. Well, got a good audience. We got a really good audience.
We got Molly,
which is our wild dog, who the minute you guys started to play has been the most calm dog that I've ever seen her be.
Yeah, we're the dog whisperers.
Yeah, and now I said the word dog, she got her head up. I guess we'll have to sing again.
Are we going to take some calls?
Is that I don't know. Zephy, you got anybody calling in there that would be nice to have a chat with them? But if not, we'll just carry on here. I'm sure Zeph will get a hold of us if there's somebody coming and give us a beep beep there and say somebody on the line. But anyway, no, it's really good. You guys have really come up with some good things. But talking about the dog, that's really interesting because music is really medicine.
Yeah.
It is medicine in more ways than one. We use it for medication. When we're doing meditation, we medicate ourselves with that and get ourselves into different levels of consciousness so that we can, you know, come in touch with different parts of ourselves, or even just relaxation, listen to music to relax. And driving in the busy traffic, it's nice to have the music on and just, you know, sing along. Yeah, if they had a noise, I just crashed the mic here. We sing along, and of course, the great part about it is I make a big joke about singing in the cracks like Minnie Pearl. When I'm driving along and there's a song on the radio that I like, I don't care if I sing in the cracks. I sing in full volume.
She does. I'm sure.
Yeah. You know, just go off and sing like anything. But talking about music, it also can trigger off things in your memory, or, you know, sometimes release emotion if just listening to it. You know, I was coming home after my father had passed away probably about 4 years before. And, you know, you don't really think that, you know, that you're going to be crying in the middle of the street or something. And I'm driving along, and Randy Travis has a song that I thought he walked on water. Have you ever heard that one?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm driving along, and my middle son and my dad, my middle son thought my dad walked on water. So as I'm driving along, Randy Travis comes on the air with his song, singing. I just love it. But here I am, driving down the street with tears rolling off my cheeks, just blubbering like a baby, you know, driving. People in the cars looking in must have said, what's the matter with that crazy woman? You know,
crazy is good.
You know, but it
went to your heart.
But it did. Yeah, but you know what? It did actually bring up some of the emotion that I didn't cry with my dad. Hi there. Is there somebody online?
Hi.
How are you doing?
Hi, Barbara.
Hello.
It's Patricia.
Hi, Patricia.
Patricia.
Hey, Patricia.
I just heard that wonderful song.
Did you? Wasn't that awesome?
Yeah, it was fabulous.
Yeah.
It came through really well.
Oh, good. I was saying we should have had them at chapel today, but then how did the movie go, or did you get anybody there?
It was Catherine and me.
Oh, there.
Great movie. Oh.
Well, it was a good movie. It was called Old
Man. Great movie. We'll have to show it again in the spring because it's a really good movie.
I think we're going
to
cancel the movie for the wintertime because I think people don't like to come out when it's dark. If they can come out, it's light, and they can go home in the dark, they don't mind.
Yeah.
But I don't think they like coming out in the dark and go home in the dark.
Nope.
It's dark. It's dark.
But I would have, I should have gone to listen to you guys. I didn't know that you were going to be at the house, Barb, that Cheryl and
just drove
Ashley
here on the way back from chapel, you see.
Hey, Patricia, do you have a question?
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to say that you guys sound great. And I love the music. And keep on rocking.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the nice text today.
Yeah, thank you, Ash. So we'll see you on Sunday.
See you at Dyer. We saw Patricia at Wayne Dyer.
Oh yeah, it was
the
good.
The other night we had a great time watching Wayne Dyer.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
It's funny. The first time I ever seen Wayne Dyer was telling Patricia. The first time I ever seen him was back in the days when you did get what you really, 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 really want. And I didn't know who it was. He was on TV.
Yeah.
And and I seen him and he's talking and I hauled Ozzy in from the other room. I said, come, listen to this guy. Listen to this guy. I didn't know who it was. And Ozzy said, when did he go to your classes? So I felt very flattered on that. But anyway, I think we must have gone to the same spiritual school together.
That's really cool. You know what? Spirit works that way.
Yes, it does.
You know how there's so many truths and so many different philosophies and so many different religions, and that's what I think is beautiful. I just wanted to say Darkest Medicine. We're talking about music being medicine, but sometimes what this song Darkest Medicine was about was sometimes we reach for other things.
Yes.
But the medicine isn't exactly helping us, right?
No.
So knowing what medicine is good for us and stepping into letting go of things like self-medication and all sorts of things, right, like wanting not to feel.
Sometimes going through the storm, you know, to the other side, just put your head and go through the storm. I had a tremendous fear of flying, absolute awesome fear of flying. And I would just white knuckle fight when I did go, and I very seldom went. And so I hadn't gone flying for a long, long time, and then I had to fly. And so it's funny that it's happened. I have a friend who is a pilot, and he used to fly between here and Hong Kong all the time. So what happened was he said to me, you know, Barbara, we've never left anybody up there. Well, do you know that struck me so funny? That, you know, when I got the plane, I would start getting nervous. I think, well, Pat said they never left anybody up here.
And well, you're going to end up on the ground one way or another.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know why would that
That's my dark side.
Yeah.
She said that before.
Yeah. Why in the name of heaven would I find that comforting? You know,
it was funny.
And
exactly
it just kind of, just something that would make me giggle and then take me out of a second when I was in that fear instead of letting go and letting God and saying, you know, come on, Barbara, you're probably not going to die up here, but if you're supposed to die up here, you will anyway. Just relax and enjoy it. But I just couldn't seem to get past that.
Flying are scary. Like,
I love flying.
You know, I do.
Yeah,
I like
people
flying.
Call them.
I love flying.
You just came back from Paris.
That's right.
And Patricia, you go quite a few places. You don't have any fear of flying, do you? She's still there?
Gone.
I think she's gone. Well, anyway, Patricia, thank you for calling in, and we've had a great time.
Yes.
I think we're
going to
have the girls do another song, if they can, and we will then just come and do a quick close-up before we close down here and talk a little bit about what's going on with the band.
Thank you, Guitar Tech. This song is called Anywhere But Here, and I really think that it's good that we're singing this one, too, because how many of us have wished that we were anywhere but here? And this song is speaking to all those times in each of our lives, to those of you who can relate. It's not about wishing anything away. It's about accepting all things. And it's not easy, but it's definitely a lot better than wishing our lives away. And that's what this song is about.
Just tuning. All right.
Tuning.
Yeah, this song is it's one of my favorites. Like, you know, every
every time we get together to work on music, we pretty much play our whole set. We've got like 12 songs. And I'm always so stoked when one gets to anywhere but here. I'm like, yes! And then, so I'm stoked right now. Okay.
Other voices here. The the small pup has been really good.
Beaches was Molly.
Yes. we have Molly the Marauder and Lady Belle.
Kind of
chimed in, so we had an extra two in the.
We had friends. It's Cheryl and Ash and friends. It's great.
Yeah, Cheryl and Ash. And I have to say that it's been fantastic, you guys.
Thank you.
Anything quickly that you're going to be doing that we can see at? Or?
Well, I guess we're going to be at Inner Garden on December 12th.
There you go, December 12th.
Come on out to see us. Or well,
after
online.
Being up all night, and then you're going to come and...
That's right.
We do have a MySpace.
Yes.
So we're going to keep adding stuff to it. There's just two acoustic demos up on it right now. But it's myspace.com and then /hologrammusic, and it's HOLLOWgram, GRAM music. And, just keep checking back there. We're going to, put some more stuff up. It's still in the very beginning stages, but, thanks for listening.
And we're going to have a fun night at the chapel with music one of these times in the new year, too, so... I hope you guys are going to come in. Maybe we'll even jam.
Yeah, hey.
Okay, so thanks to BBS Radio for allowing us to come on. And this is Inner Garden and Barbara Leonard asking you to drop in and see us. We're in Surrey at 14620 64th Avenue in Surrey. We have 11 o'clock service. And you've just heard some of our people just full of energy and fun. And we'll talk to you next time. Until then, angels go with you. God bless.